so glad to be here together with all y'all and all y'all online. Hey, welcome to California. You know who you are. Okay, let's pray. We've got a couple of friends in the hospital from our house. I'm not going to share who they are, but if you guys would just agree with me, we're just going to send healing directly to them right now. Father, we honor you in your glory and your goodness and your power and your might, your creative force, God, alive and awake through Jesus Christ in each side, inside each one of us. And so, Lord, right now we agree with heaven for the healing of our beloved brothers and sisters who are suffering under affliction right now, Lord, especially particularly those in the hospital. God, we just speak to them and say, rise up right now in the name of Jesus. We command their bodies to come into perfect alignment with the Shekinah glory of heaven. Fill their rooms right now. Send your angelic host to begin worshiping in their rooms right now and shifting that atmosphere, Lord God. We lift them up before the throne of heaven and we declare them healed from head to toe in Jesus' name. Amen. And for anybody else in this house right now who is wrestling with anything, just reach up and say, I'll take that. I'll take that. I'll take that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hi, guys. Okay. Yay. So glad to be with you. I'm here. It was so funny. Norco announced it on Sunday that my talk is Stand Still and See. And she's like, yeah, from one who never is still. That's kind of a oxymoron. But Holy One, I just thank you for your word and your goodness. And I just pray that you would now ignite and light upon that which you want to touch on tonight. Lord, you know exactly who you've called, whether they're here or online, and exactly what they need to hear. And so even if I say one thing and you need to translate another to them, so be it, Father, that each one would receive from your hand exactly the meal you have prepared for them tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I want to talk about, you know, it's a lot of things, but it's really one thing, and it's our stance. In Ephesians, when it talks about the armor of God, and it says, when everything else is done, stand. Stand. That's it. Just stand. But I want to talk about how we stand and what comes against us in that standing. And the good news is it's super simple. I love simple. I want to start with Exodus chapter 14, Kelly. And we'll start in verse 12. So the Lord has delivered the Hebrews out of Egypt by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And he has led them away from Egypt. And Pharaoh, who said, go ahead, take your people, get out of here. I don't want to see it anymore. And all the Egyptians actually heaped like riches on the Hebrews. They left, though they were slaves in captivity, by the time they left wealthy. They had riches, they had gold, they had jewelry, they had fine clothes, they had all kinds of cool stuff, and they were leaving, and they're like, wow, the Lord has heard our prayer, and we are leaving. And then Pharaoh has a change of heart again, and he starts going after them with all his chariots. And how many of you have come to a place where you're like, I've broken free. I've had the breakthrough. I'm out. It's glorious on this side. And then you're like, oh no, it's coming after me again. Right? Okay. I think we've all been there in different ways. You may not sound like me, but I don't mind. So I'm going to read from verse 12. Is this not the word? Okay. This is the Hebrews talking to Moses because now they're afraid. And when we're afraid, we're not typically very nice, right? Because we're looking to control something to stop that which is causing the terror in our hearts. And so then we turn around and we got to find somebody to blame. Because I'm feeling all the weight of my fear, but I don't want to carry this, so I'm going to put it on you. It's your fault. That's what they're doing. So he's got a million people feeling this way. Poor Moses. Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. All right. Let's go back to verse 12. So they're telling Moses, it would be better to remain a slave than for them to be chasing us, to massacre us. When we come out of our bondage, when God delivers us from our freedom, the enemy never likes to let that happen. And so he always pursues us on the heels of our deliverance, right? And when we're looking at that, when we fall back into fear, rather than the work that's just been done in us, then we kind of reason in our fear, in our soul, bondage is better than death. You see, they'd been slaves for hundreds of years. They knew this by now. They knew what it was to be a slave. You kind of, all of us become enslaved to one thing or another. And the enslavement of our lives is basically just wrong agreements. It's a wrong agreement with who we are and who our Father is and who Christ is in us. And when we get captivated in that and we stay there for a long time, we begin to buy furniture to accommodate the place of our enslavement. Because, well, I don't know how to get out, so I might as well make it comfortable being inside of this bondage. And it's like, well, at least I know this bondage. It's familiar. Ever heard that word before? Familiar spirits. I know this. It knows me. Here's a couch. Right? And so when God does a work of deliverance in our lives, he's taking us out of a place that we've become accustomed to. How many of you have a dip on your side of the bed that's in your shape? Right? Because you lay there all the time. You lay there all the time. And if you're married and you've got your side, husband's got your side, and you go to reach over and it's like, whoa, there's a hump in the middle. Just because it's taken the shape of where you constantly lay. Our bondage takes a shape that we become comfortable in. And when God pulls us out of it, it's not comfortable. We're excited. We love the feeling of freedom until we start bumping into things that aren't in our shape anymore. And then the enemy's right there to lie and say, well, you're not really free. Oh, no, it didn't take. Anybody heard that one? It didn't take. It wasn't really real. Come on, return. Return to the couch. Look, it's got your rear end print. It's ready for you right here. There's always that beckoning. Verse 13, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And get this, guys, that word salvation, Yeshua. I was so psyched when I read that. Stand still and see Yeshua. Stand still and see Jesus. Stand still. Stop running. Don't run backwards. Just stand for a minute and see Jesus. and what he will accomplish for you today. You see, once we get free, we think it is that somehow we had something to do with getting free, like we could deliver ourselves, and that we can somehow maintain our freedom according to the flesh, according to our own strength. That's why we freak out, because we fail to realize that my freedom wasn't brought by my effort. My freedom was bought by Yeshua. And so Yeshua is the one who then accomplishes forward my freedom. He's the one that carries me out of the land of cushy couch bondage into my freedom. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. So there's a two-part effort here. You see, we stand and see, and then he accomplishes it. But I have to stand, because if I'm running, if I'm freaking out, I'm not going to see him. I'm going to see everything else. I'm going to run into the walls. I'm going to run into other people. And I'm like, ah, the enemy's back after me. Stop it. Stand and see Jesus. Verse 14, the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. So here we have a two-part again. God does the fighting. I hold my peace. And that word for holding your peace is etch. It's to scratch it. It's to engrave it, like when you engrave stone or you engrave metal. Who has set me free? Yeshua is my salvation. Yeshua is my peace. Lord, write that. Help me hold that peace. That is what I need to see. I need to stand still and see and let you do my fighting. So often we come into a circumstance that's grievous or frightening. You know, something happens to a dear one and we freak out. Oh no, and pray. And everybody needs to pray. Becky. 8 exclamation points. But Becky's been through this training for a long time, and Becky goes, Okay, Jesus. What are you saying? I'm going to stand still. The stillness is here. Because the freak out is here. All right? Stand still and see. I'm going to see Yeshua. I'm going to see Jesus. Jesus is salvation. I stand. He fights. I hold my peace. He saves. It's super cool. Verse 15. And the Lord said to Moses, why are you whining at me? Tell the people, go forward. So we get free. The enemy pursues us, and we stop. Anybody here own chickens? Chickens? Okay, so chickens are very interesting creatures. They are not high on the pecking order. They are like at the bottom. And so when they get afraid, they do this. That's it. They stop and they sit. And I'm like, and now you get eaten. Dumb cluck. I know where that came from. If the enemy is pursuing you, stop to see. And once you see, go forward to the vision of Jesus. Don't look to the past. That was the first thing out of their mouth to him. We should have stayed in slavery. And God's like, stop, see me, quit your whine and go forward. Move towards me. Don't move in your own strength. Don't go looking for something else to save you. See Yeshua and move towards him. What are you doing? Because you're not freaking out. I'm going to move towards you. Let's go to verse 31. Because here's the key to hold that place. So, okay. Yeah, let's go back to verse 23. They're running. God allows them to get between the rock and the hard place. There's a sea. We can't cross the sea. Here they come. They're coming. Death, 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 death. Bad plan, Moses. It's all your fault. Right? They were singing his praises. They were rejoicing in God as they were getting delivered. God is great. Moses is amazing. Hallelujah. We're free. This is all your fault. And now we're going to die. Right? And yet the Lord shows up. So the Egyptians are pursuing them. And what it says a few verses back is then God sends this cloud between them and the Egyptians. God, he sends his protection. They get up to the sea. They can't go any further. And God sends this cloud and the Egyptians are halted. They can't see through the cloud. It's burning. They can't get through it. So they stop. So they went after. So then the Lord tells them, okay, Moses, now, the next day, he says, put your staff in the water. I'm going to part the sea. And it says that the waters rose like towers on either side. Let your people go. Send them through. Send them through. So the people go in, and they go in, and they go. They're walking across the sea, and there's the water. And, like, this is trippy, and this is wild. But here we go, because it's that or death. We are going through the sea, an unknown place, an unfamiliar place. It's a little precarious walking between water. When God calls us out of bondage, he sends us into precarious places. It's unfamiliar territory. And I'll tell you why. Because the only way we're going to be led out of captivity is if we follow the Lord's leading. And if I've got this, I stop following immediately. So God doesn't mind keeping me in an unfamiliar place. He's like, this is for your benefit. Right? So come, follow me through the sea. So they begin to go through the sea. They begin to go through the sea. The cloud lifts, and the Egyptians start through the sea. The Egyptians are coming. These guys are getting to the other side. They're getting online. They're like, oh, no, they're following us through the ocean. It cracks, or through the sea. It cracks me up because it's like the enemy's pursuing them through the middle of the sea. This is not normal. This is an unusual circumstance. See Yeshua. If they could stop and go, wait a minute, the waters have parted. God has this. But they weren't looking at the miracle they were walking in. They were looking at the enemy who was threatening. Right? So in fear, they're still fearing for their lives. I don't blame them. This is me. I am an Egyptian. Yes. It doesn't matter that you just did 15 remarkable things. I'm feeling the onslaught and the attack, and I'm running, and they're trying to get to the other side, and then this is super cool. The waters returned. He told Moses, once they got to the other side, he told Moses, no, go back. Go back. Yeah, to extend his staff. But right before he did that, he sent confusion into the camp, and their wheels started getting stuck in the mud. And they're like, wait a minute, what's going on? We need to turn around. So they started turning around. They got scared, and they started turning around because their chariots started failing. And they're like, this God of Israel fights for them. And they started freaking out, and they started turning around. And then the waters returned and covered the chariots. Oh, no, I'm sorry, Kelly, verse 23. Looks like an 8. And the Egyptians pursued, went after them into the midst of the sea, Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch, the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and the cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. It means he sent confusion. And he took off their chariot wheels, so they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. Then the Lord said to Moses, now stretch your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, their chariots. chariots and on their horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it, which leads me to believe they were just about to the other side. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them lived. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus, Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. The Egyptians followed them through the sea, and their path of deliverance was the demise of the enemy. You see, God is the one who fights for us, and he's the one who takes out our enemy, but he allows the enemy to pursue us. And he brings them awfully close at times. And we're like, couldn't you have dealt with them out there? But the Lord wants to let you know that when he deals with your enemy is dealt with. If they had not seen the Egyptians utterly devastated, they would have spent the rest of their lives fearing that the Egyptians were going to show up at any time. Right? Because they're a powerful force. They've come after us. They've enslaved us all these years. And the Lord's like, look, these Egyptians you see today, you will see no more. And he dealt with them completely, totally to where they saw the death. Dead bodies on the shore. Here's your enemy, powerless. And at that point, they feared the Lord. This is the exchange I need to make of my couch. I need to let go of the slavery, and I need to fear the Lord. If they had understood the miracle they were in the midst of, they wouldn't have had as much terror crossing the sea. They were in a miracle crossing the sea. So many of us are in miracles right now at the hand of the Lord, but our eyes are on the enemy and not on Yeshua. And so we do not recognize the miracle we're in the midst of, and we go to the Lord and we whine and we're like, what are you doing? And he says, go forward. Get out of this place. Go forward. I will deal with this. I will deal with your enemy. You stand still to see me. Once you've seen me, you move forward. But you cannot move forward if you are looking at your accuser, if you are looking at the one who is coming after you, the one who is threatening you, the one who is shaming you. If your eyes are there, forward means backwards. You must see and fear, fear, reverence, revere, honor, understand that God is truly God. And Satan isn't. All right, let's go, Kelly, to Isaiah 30, verse 20, please. You see, God has a redemptive plan for the adversity in our lives. We would like it nice and pressure-free. Yes? Do you know that if the atmospheric pressure that is on our planet were not pushing against you, you would die. Yes, your body would collapse. There is pressure we are under every moment as we walk on planet Earth. There is pressure, and without that pressure, our bodies would cave in. God uses that pressure to build strength. We have been a couple times to the Bristlecone Pine Tree Forest. They are among the oldest trees on the planet. Depending on your Earth Age theology. Some people think they're centuries old. Some people think they're millennia old. In any case, they owe. All right? And what is so amazing about these trees, and most trees if you go into the forest, is you can look at an entire face of granite and there's a tree growing out of it. Somehow, and that tree, nobody planted that tree as a big tree. It started as a little sapling that somehow was able to push through the rock, the granite, and just a little pink height. And over time and drinking the groundwater and the rain, it grows and it grows and it moves and it breaks apart rocks. What's super cool is there is a, I'm not sure which face it is, but one of the faces of the mountain is in shadow. So those trees have it pretty mild and pretty easy because they're protected. They're in the shadow. And then there's the trees that are on the open face, and those trees get battered by wind, by torrential winds and rains. And, you know, all the weather systems come through on the face of that rock and beats against those trees. And they said, you know what? The trees in the shadow don't last. They don't have health. Because without adversity, there's no need to develop strength. But the trees on the face that get battered and beaten by the wind and the rain, those are the strongest, oldest trees on the planet. Because in that place of adversity, you build muscle. And God has designed us to bear under adversity that we may carry the glory of God. Because the glory of God is greater than the atmosphere of this planet. And were it to land on us the way we ask, it would demolish us. Unless we have developed a place with the Lord in intimacy of his presence and of holding ourselves in relationship with him, then as the adversity comes, we see Yeshua, we move forward. God builds in us strength. He strengthens us. And the more he strengthens us, not in ourselves, not in our flesh, not relying on ourselves, but relying on him, the more of his glory he kind of lays on us. It's super cool. Okay. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 20. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right or whenever you turn to the left. And you will also defile the covering of your images. You're going to get rid of your idols. Okay, let's go back to 20. The bread of adversity and the water of affliction comes from the Lord because he knows what vitamins we need, what spiritual vitamins we need. This scripture says your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore. So over the last 6 years. Well, for the last 30 years, as I have led worship in different places in different spaces, I have been given water of affliction. I have been given a thorn to buffet me. I have been given an accuser who every time I get up to lead worship goes, wow, you're such a show-off. You know, a few people like you, but revival's not happening because you ain't got it. Right? Because it's usually brought in through the worship, and if you're in charge of the worship, it ain't coming. And sometimes he sits out there, but a lot of times he's about this close. And I felt it was super important to share this tonight because some of you are being demonized. probably all of us at some level. And so every Sunday and every Wednesday, I get up here, and the enemy stands right about this close to me, and he goes, "You ain't got it. You ain't got it. This church is never going to get there until they get a new worship leader. Because it's on you. It's really on you. You know it's on you. You know you're only here because, like, the pastor and a few people like you. That's why you're here, but that's not going to bring revival. As long as you're in that place, revival's not coming." So fun. Who wants to be me? Not me. And I'm not telling you this so you'll feel sorry for me. I'm just sharing a testimony. So, Kelly, let's go to Psalm 23, verse 5. The Lord gave me this about 3 years ago, 3-4 years ago, when I said, "God, the dude, right in front of my keyboard, can we, you know, wouldn't be hard. You just go like this, he's gone." And the Lord said, I have prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemy. Feast or starve. It's your choice. Thanks, Dad. I feel better. And he said, "No, seriously. There's absolutely zero reason for you to be starving up there. Find me." But they're not worshiping. That's not your job. That's their job. That's between them and me. Whatever they do, it's not on you. Your job is to worship me. Find me. Find me. I don't care how fun it feels, how great, when everything's gone, the house is alive. There'll be those days we're dancing, everything's great. And it's like, oh, that felt so good. And he's like, it was okay. Okay. And he's like, I don't want you to get dependent on that, because that has nothing to do with worship. That's a byproduct of fellowship and unity and wonder and glory and my goodness. But that has nothing to do with worship. That's your soul getting touched. That's their souls getting touched. That is a beautiful thing. That's a byproduct of my love and my fruit. It has nothing to do with your worship. I'm like, what do you mean? Eat. The enemy's still there. You are pretty awful. You know, we're just going to keep doing this from here to kingdom come. But revival ain't coming. It, you know what? And there's somebody sleeping, and there's somebody snoring, and there's somebody with an ugly look on their face. And you know they don't like you, and your hair's too big today. Oh, that hair. Can we talk about that hair? Boy, that hair is always drawing attention. I mean, anything to take me out. Anything to take me out. And I'm up here, and I've got a smile on my face, because ain't your business what I'm going through. I'm here to worship. Amen. Ain't my business what I'm going through. It belongs to my Father. It belongs to Yeshua. And we all have people we love to hear, and we all have people that we really connect to, and I believe that's a vibrational frequency thing, and that's of God, and that's glorious. And I'm not saying that I have permission for the worship to suck. I need to show up. I need to do my work. I need to spend my time with the Lord in private. I need to spend my time with my team. I need to be pursuing God. I need to, because I need to give God my excellence no matter what. But how that impacts you, I don't get to determine that. And so for me, the enemy has been right in front of me. And about, 2 years ago, I finally started to eat in the middle of all that. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to eat. It's really hard. But I'm going to eat, God. I'm going to get my eyes on you. I'm going to look for you. I don't see you right now. All I see is this guy. But I know you're there anyway, so I'm going to act like I see you. And I'm going to talk to you anyway. And I'm just, and some days all I could do was be that tree on the front of the wall face and let the wind and the rain beat on me. And all I could do was hold me here. Because the enemy's a booger, man. And he's intense. And he is not a joke. And he knows it. But you know what he is? A servant. Kelly, bring up Isaiah 30 again, please. Verse 20. And the Lord just began to tell me, he said, I need you to bless the tutor. Satan is not my enemy. In his mind, he's the enemy of God. But God's like, I made him. I knew what he would do. He's a servant. He's my sheepdog. He goes after y'all. Y'all come running back to me. He's a servant. And right now, he's the tutor. And the only way you're going to learn this lesson is if you see me. If you see your salvation. Stop looking to feel it. Stop looking for all the circumstances to agree with what you want them to agree to tell you. We've made it. We got it. We landed. Now our worship is through the roof, and now we're going crazy, and yes, we arrived. And God's like, or not. If that's what you need to worship, then it's not worship. It's soul food. Soul food is okay, but it is not spirit food. And sometimes they're real closely related. I'm not telling you you can't feel good in worship. I'm not telling you you can't meet God in worship. What I am saying is if all the circumstances have to be aligned and all the planets aligned for you to find him, then it is not worship. I'm looking to feel okay to validate that I've met God. And God says, you don't need to feel, you need to know my word. My word is truth. Sanctify us by your truth. Jesus prayed, sanctify them by your truth. Clean them, cleanse them, set them apart by your truth. Your word is truth. This is my convincing. The word of God, not my soul, not my flesh, but who God says I am. That is my foundation. So he says, Isaiah 30, sorry, not 38, 30. But he says, your teachers will no longer be put in a corner. And some Bible scholars say that they're now going to receive Isaiah and they're going to receive, you know, the hearing of the prophets. And the Lord goes, your teacher's right here in front of your keyboard. I'm not putting him in a corner. I've put him right here because I know who I am in you. And you can do this. I know me. I know me in you, and with me in you, you can do this. You've got this enemy right here. Bless the tutor. So what that means is I have to change. I began to change. I stopped doing warfare at my keyboard, and I started worshiping at my keyboard. Because I don't need to give any more energy, any more emotion, any more of my strength, my time, my attention to the servant. I need to give all my attention, my time, everything, my energy to the Lord. That is where worship happens. I'm going to see Yeshua, and I'm going to go forward in Yeshua, my salvation. So God's like, hey, I've brought you. This is an upgrade. I've brought your tutor right out in front of everybody. I'm like, could we do this at home, please? this, hi y'all online, that's hard. When? Can we please grow in private? God says, what's it to you? Follow me. I don't care what a single one of those people say. I don't care what a single one of those people say. I love all you people. But God's like, this isn't about them. This is you and me and the tutor. And he is there to try to convince you of who you are not. And unless you are able to stand still and see me in the face of this tutor, you will never step in to who you are and to what I have called you to. You have already defeated him. Jesus told me, you have already defeated him because Christ is in you. And the cross is already a completed work. The enemy is defeated. You have Christ in you. Therefore, you have defeated the enemy. Okay. Don't look at this. See Yeshua. See your salvation. And go forward. I go forward in you. And it gets so fuzzy up here sometimes. There's just stuff that happens and things walk into the room and fly into the room and we'll be like, yeah, okay, wow. And we've lost our footing up here. And we're trying to find each other and we're trying to hold on. I'm like, hang in there, guys. Come on. Get back up. Get on it. See him. Don't go by what we're feeling right now, because the feels are real. It's like I tell my daughter, I'm like, baby, the feels are real. Take them to Jesus and then tell them you're not the boss of me. Because I love David. David felt all over everybody. I cry on my bed at night. I am washed in tears. I love David. But then after the end of that, he goes, but you are God, and I will yet praise you. He always gets his behind back to worship. And worship is declaring who God is and what he has done. Music is one of those expressions. Dance is one of those expressions. Painting is one of those expressions. Cooking is one of those expressions. Phone calls is one of those expressions. There are so many expressions of worship. And we limit it to this. And we go, I wish I were on the worship team. No, you don't. You don't want this job? You can have it. Take it. I have tried and tried and tried to give it away. I have prayed, Lord, send somebody else. And he's like, no. At least not right now. I'm doing a thing. Eat. And I love it because pastor's been saying, he said for so long, we're like, get me out. And God's like, let me in. I have positioned you in this place because you are my access point. I want to bring glory through you. You are exactly where you need to be. Stand and see me, and then let me through. Let me come through you. Let me come out of you. Let me come over you. Let me come upon you. And it's just really so good. But it's not easy. And I'm here to tell you guys, it's not always easy. Some of you are carrying some big wounds. Because it hasn't been easy. And you're like, Lord, have you forgotten me? Do you not see me? And then my favorite, what did I do? What did I do that I ended up here? And the enemy's like, oh, let me tell you what you did. I'll tell you all about what you did. Remember this? You did this. You did this. I got your rap sheet. Your rap sheet is 20 things long and 35 years long. And look how you blew it. And God's like, Whenever you're done, let's eat. Because if you fear the Lord, you recognize that your failure is still not enough to conquer the blood of Jesus. Our failure is swallowed up in the blood of Jesus Christ. You guys need to hear this, because some of you are carrying your failure like a backpack. Some of you are carrying it like a garment of mourning. And the Lord says, can I please have that? Okay. Go to verse 23, Kelly, please. Then he will give the rain. Okay, so if you will, go back to 22. So he said he's going to send waters of affliction and the bread of adversity, right? But that our teachers are not going to be in the corner anymore. And he says, now get rid of your idols. You will also defile the covering of your images of silver and the ornament of your modeled images of gold. You will throw them away as an unclean thing. You will say to them, get away! We've made idols of our wounds. An idol is anything to which we give our worship, to which our hearts go. We've made idols of our mistakes and our failures. And we hold on to them and we nurture them. And we go, oh, I let you down, God. And we feel somehow in harboring them, in guilt and holding them, that we are somehow honoring God. That's anathema, people. The blood of Jesus has dealt with this failure. For me to hold on to it and to nurture it as some sort of penance before the Lord flies in the face of the blood and the cross. It's dealt with and it is done, and I need to let it go. I need to go, I am so sorry. That's not mine to own. You bought this. How dare I take it back? You gave everything for this, and I'm holding on to it. Eek, wrong, sorry. You can have the couch too. In fact, let's do a burn party with the furniture. And let's stop going backwards. Let's look at him and let's move forward in freedom. If the church actually got this, the world, the whole planet would be a different place. Because we would stop being tripped up and taken away by the circumstances and the troubles of life, and we would be walking in freedom, walking in glory in the midst of adversity. Adversity is not going to go away. On this earth, you will have trouble. But I've overcome it. Guess what? I've overcome it because Christ is in me. So I've actually overcome all this stuff I'm in the middle of. I've actually overcome it. So what is the point then, Lord, of me walking through? You are building glory inside of me. You are building the authority, the ownership of the authority. God's already given it through Jesus. But if I don't know how to handle my authority, I will misuse it. And I'll try to be the boss of people. Because when we're in fear, we control. Next. So deal with your idols. Then he will give the rain for your seed with which you sow the ground and the bread of the increase of the earth. So many times we are striving, we are striving, we are striving unto a thing, and we're still holding on to our idols. We're still holding on to our self-preservation. We're still holding on to our wounds or to the thing that we're holding God in debt to. When you deliver this, I will know you love me. And he's like, woo, that flies in the face of my word. That flies against my very identity. I am love, says God. So if I tell him, if you do this, I'll know you love me, I'm trying to tell him he's not love. We got to clean up our acts, folks. We got to clean up our belief systems. We have to clean up our minds. Now, I can go to him and say, I don't feel very loved right now. I can be so honest with where I am. But like David at the end, I need to turn around and go, but you are love. And I know that the feels are real, but they're not the boss of me. I can feel them, but this isn't the truth. Your word is truth. I'm back to worship. I'm back to worship. And when I get there, my seeds of intercession, the rain comes and waters them. And life comes and bread comes, fruit comes. There's all kinds of fun promises there, but I'm going to move on. Oh, it's 8:30. I'm out of time. Amen. Okay. All right, I'm going to jump real quick. Please understand. Let's go to Psalm. Kelly, let's go to the slides that I gave you for Psalm 149. The Lord has called each one of us forth by name. Our authority exists in our identity as his offspring, as his purchased one, and as the bride of his son. This is where our authority lies. Okay? Our identity is as because we're his chirins, which means the entire earth has authority in Christ because every single human on the planet is a child of God. Every single human on the planet, he died because he loved the whole world. But now, everybody, when Jesus died, got a debit card. But not everybody's called in to activate the account. But that debit card reaches to every single human. And it's so important we need to see that. Because our stance must be in love in everything we do. All right, go ahead, Kels. Hit the output button. Yeah? Oh, it's behind me. That's right, because I did it. Okay, this is the Passion Translation. This is Psalm 149, verse 5. His godly lovers triumph in the glory of God, and their joyful praises will rise even while others sleep. Next. God's high and holy praises fill their mouths, for their shouted praises are their weapons of war. Next. These warring weapons will bring vengeance on every opposing force and every resistant power to bind kings with chains and rulers with iron shackles. Next, praise-filled warriors will enforce the judgment doom decreed against their enemies. This is the glorious honor he gives to all his godly lovers. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Your worship is who God is. In the moment where the tutor is right there snarling at you, lying to you, your kids are not where you want them to be. Hell is working on your family. Hell is working in your workplace. Your warfare is worship. But God. But God. But God. Enough said. Now. Stand. Yeshua, I see you. 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 Ooh, I see this. I see that. No. I see you. Fix your eyes. Okay. What do you want to do? Now we move forward. It comes through worship. Worship can involve music, but it has nothing to do with music. Worship is the magnification, the enlargement of God. About a month ago, I was in my house and there was some stuff flying. And nobody was home. I was home alone. And man, the battering on my mind was huge. Two things. That's not my Father's voice. He doesn't talk to me that way. God, you are true. You are love. You are holy. You are, Lord, you are, and you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. I have been rewarded by the love of God being poured out for me. The blood of Christ has been poured out, and I had to just get out there. This is my warfare. I never said the enemy's name once. I never prayed about the words I was hearing once. I began to declare the word until I saw Yeshua and everything left. Amen. Right? Because that's our warfare. The worshiping warriors. Do not tell yourself, I'm not on the worship team. I'm not a worshiping warrior. That's baloney. Do you know Jesus? Do you love him? Can you tell him you are God? Then you are a worshiping warrior. And that's all you need. That's all you need is who he is. So and the enemy, the enemy likes to use my authority. Here's another little testimony, so fun. Love telling on myself. So I had a friend in my life who was pretty insecure. And every now and then, just out of left field, I would get accused of something that was not at all anything I was partnering with, thinking about. I mean, it was so totally out of left field. And they're like, you were doing this. I'm like, no, I wasn't. I think that was the enemy trying to tell you that I was doing that. Because you know what? Those lenses are super real. The enemy loves to filter what we see and go, look. And I stop seeing Yeshua, and I see the enemy, and I see what he wants to tell me, and then I start seeing what he's saying in somebody else, and it's so real. You can't tell me you don't feel that way because I see it. No, no, you see the enemy, right? So I'm getting jumped for something I didn't do or think, and I'm like, you know, it's not me, and they're like, oh, okay, and they move on, and I'm like, really? Great. But then I stopped and I went, okay, Father, is there anything that I'm culpable of here? Because I'm going to bring my heart to him. That's my only safe defense. Is because he knows my heart better than me. And I'm like, is there anything I'm culpable of? And he's like, yeah, so this person's so broken, and you think you're better than them, and I'm in you, so the authority of me in you is opening the door for the enemy to assault that person in your presence because you've made an agreement that they are broken. I said, what? Oh, dang. You right. I'm sorry. Because that's how repentance goes for me with the Father. I know I don't need to, you know, flagellate myself. And, oh, I'm so sorry. When God convicts me, he's like, here it is. I'm like, you right. I'm sorry. He's like, great. There's the blood. Moving on. But that one caught me. I was not anticipating that. But Holy Spirit's like, check your heart. I'm like, okay, Lord, check my heart. And he's like, right. You've made an agreement. And I am in you. People, Christ, the hope of glory, the creator of the universe exists inside of you. You are all carrying incredible authority. What are you in agreement with? Because you are giving authority to your agreements. Ah, really scary. A lot of stuff is going on in the world because we are in agreement that the world is going to hell. Rather than God, who died because he loved this world, has a plan for them. And rather than calling out their plan, we're agreeing with the enemy and we're cursing and we're shaming and we're blaming. We're looking at all the measures that are coming up for vote. Go vote. But pray, say, Lord, what's your heart? And rather than going, oh, no, oh, no, or, oh, well, it's all going to hell, ask God what he wants you to do. You have the power of agreement. You need to come into agreement with heaven because that is what we are called to do, is rule and reign with him. But we take our authority, and when we don't get ourselves healed up, and when we aren't going to God and saying, search my heart and know me and see if there's any path of pain I'm choosing to walk on and deliver me from my anxious fears, God, because I don't want to be driven by that. You see, the Egyptians, they were slaves. They were driven. They were driven. And when God set them free, he said, now follow. It's your choice. I'm not going to drive you anymore. The enemy drives us, but God doesn't. He says, it's your choice. Feast or starve, but you follow me. But Lord, what about them? What's that to you? You follow me. You get to choose. Or you can stay here. Or you can go back. You can engage all this warfare if you want, or you can come get in my presence and just ask me what I'm praying. And he might give you a warfare prayer, but to just automatically assume that's what I'm going to do. Now I'm exhausted. And the Lord's like, hey, was that fun? Come here. Come here. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Follow me. Don't be driven anymore by your anxious cares. Follow me and be careful. My authority is in you. I have placed myself in you. Be careful what you agree with. Be careful what you come into agreement with. Some of you are discerners of spirits. It's a gift from the Lord. But then you go after the people who are carrying that, rather than going, okay, Lord, I'm discerning that, but who is that person underneath that? I'm going to call to their identity. I'm going to call them to their glory. I'm going to call them out. I walked into this a week ago. Somebody I love in my life, I walked in, this thing came on me, and I don't know if you've seen The Lord of the Rings, but Gandalf rose up in me, you shall not pass. I was like full on mama bear mode. And I stopped and I went, this isn't the Lord. This isn't the Lord. I got to go pray. And I pulled, rather than annihilate this poor little individual who I love with all my heart, because I encountered whatever that thing was that that person was carrying, and fear rose up in me. And in my fear, my warrior went to town. But guess what? Fear isn't God. Fear is the opposite of love. If I am not fearing the Lord in that moment, I am going to take somebody out with my authority, because my lens is fear. And the enemy is now driving that lens. And so he is using my authority in partnership with me to do harm rather than call out glory. And I'm like, I'm going to my room. What was that? What was that? What's going on? What's going on? Okay, you are love. I'm not feeling any love for this person right now. I want to take them out. Okay. Wait. No. But I know that's not you. I know that. See, Yeshua. Speak to the good. Yeah, you're picking up something. That person is carrying something. Bless them. Call them into their true identity in me. Bind that spirit, because whatever brokenness or lack of understanding, whatever has caused them to come into agreement with that, that's not me. It's not my call for them. You. And you don't have to go to them and say, you're carrying this, but God said, mm-mm. He and I are going to do this transaction. Because he's motivated by love always. Always. And if I am not moving in love, I am not moving with God ever. And the enemy loves our authority, and he loves to cause theft in our lives by our own agreement. He's like, I will use your authority because you don't get it. I get it. I can't afford for you to know who you are. Mm-hmm. I cannot afford for you to know who you are, but I know who you are, and I'm just going to seed a few things so you'll agree with me, so then I'm actually manipulating and using your authority and your agreement to further my plans. It's like, oh, dang. I'm going to stop that today. wow, no more. Don't want to do that anymore. Kelly, let's go to John 17, verse 15. Please. God loves you guys so much. Not only are you his children, you're the bride for his son. He has staked everything on us getting this. His desire is for a bride that is so glorious, she will match the glory of his son. He is so invested in us to walk in wholeness, to understand the glory of Christ in us, to take that place on the mountain face when it's beating and go, I see God. And this is meant to train me. I will bless the tutor. God, this is hard and I'm weak. He goes, that's okay. That's okay. I'm your strength. Lean on the arm of your beloved. Lean, lean. When you come out of that wilderness, you better be so dependent that you can't walk unless you're leaning on him. He's not looking for me to get out there and go, I am amazing. He's looking for me to go, I got nothing without you, man. Oh, you're glorious. And he's like, yeah, and so are you. I do not pray. This is Jesus praying for us. I do not pray, Lord, that you will take them out of the world, but that you will keep them from the evil one. They are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. You sent me into the world. I also have sent them into the world. Get out of your prayer closet. Get out of the church when he tells you to. And go forward with him. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Set apart by the truth, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, by the truth of Jesus Christ. That is what sets us apart. Nothing else. Not your talents, not your giftings, not your great places, not your failures. Nothing sets you apart except his truth, his word, what God says of you. I do not pray for these alone, but for all those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. He included us. That's us right now, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one in us and the world would believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them that they may be one just as you and I are one, Father. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Can I have air? And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. I am love. God is love. All of this is about love. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold. See, Yeshua. Behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. And I leave you with this last one. Oh, righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them. And I in them. Would you stand with me? Our stance is love. Our stance is love. If you are not feeling it, stand still and see him. And begin to worship, begin to declare who he is, begin to rehearse. He told them, remember, remember. And he told them, write it on your wrist and put it on your forehead. And they made phylacteries. And they're like, okay, it's about the box. And God's like, it's not about the box. It's about seeing it and remembering who I am, who you are in me, and all I've given you, all I have done for you, all I have done for you. I have done everything for you, and I would do it again, but I don't need to. It's done, and it's all because I love you. Now come stand in love so that your authority doesn't get used for Satan's plans, so that you don't come into agreement with the lies that Satan says about you or about anybody else. When you pick up stuff from other people, whoo, I'm picking that up. But Jesus, who are they? You show me who they are. Satan's trying to show me, or you're even showing me what they're wrestling with. Okay, God, I'm going to give that to you. And I'm going to carry that for them, because that's what love does. I'm going to carry that. Lord, wow, that's going on in their life. Jesus, free them, God, free them. Let them know who you are. Who are they, God? Begin to talk to me about who they are so I can agree with heaven. So I can use the authority of Christ in me in agreement with the yes and amen of heaven over these people. We get people free without even talking to them. I don't even have to say a single thing, and they can get free because I've done a heavenly transaction by standing in love in my authority in Christ. That's who you all are. That's who you are. That's who you are. Don't listen to the liar anymore. That is not how my Father talks. You know how I know that? Because I'm feeling this, and I'm feeling this, and it sounds like my voice, and I'm so used to agreeing with it, and I think I'll get that couch out again. Wait! That's not my Father. He doesn't talk that way. Who are you, God? You are this, you are this, you are good, you are sovereign, you love me. You gave everything for me because you love me, and I am yours. I am yours. I am your son. I am your daughter. I am the bride of your son. I am your daughter-in-law. Hey, it's pretty cool. I love you, God. You're amazing. Here I am now. Can I bless? Who can I bless? Who can I bless? Who can I shower blessings on? What is heaven saying? So let's just lift up our hands right now. Oh, God, 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 sovereign, sovereign, sovereign of the universe, great, powerful, awesome King, majesty, Lord, Savior, wonder, creator. You are awesome in all your ways. You are all powerful and you are good. You are good. You are always good. No matter what I see, no matter what I feel, no matter what I encounter, you are always good, God. And now we come into agreement with you and we ask, Father, would you help us get rid of the furniture? Would you help us see Yeshua and walk forward and no longer accommodate the bondage of our past, no longer be driven by the lies of our failures and the enemy? God, no matter what has happened, they might be true. And I love to say that. Satan's like, you did this. And I'm like, you're probably right. But go talk to God, because he now owns that. The blood has purchased all my sins. The blood has paid for all my failures, past, present, future. I no longer own them. They belong to him. So I am going to burn down the house that houses my past, that houses my failings, that houses my sin. I'm going to just hand it to you, God. Here's the key. You own it. You're the actual owner. I don't own that anymore. So when the enemy comes after me, and you and you and you, probably right. I'm not my own lawyer. The blood is. The blood is my lawyer. This is an illegal conversation. I'm out. Talk to the blood. I'm going to stand still. I'm going to see Yeshua. I'm going to magnify. I'm going to worship you. Whether I have music, whether I am in the midst of chaos, whether I am in pain, whether I am in sadness. You know, someone said, the earth is the only place we get to offer our tears, because heaven has no tears. So if all you've got is dust, give him your dust. Give him your dust in worship. Don't put a dress on it and some lipstick. Just give him your dust right where you are.
here's my pain, here's my wound, here's my unbelief, God. And I worship you right here. Because you are greater and know all things. Holy Spirit, just move. Just move among your people right now. You know that scripture that says your teachers will no longer be in the corner. It says, but you will hear a voice from behind you. And I believe that the Lord is wrapping his arms around many of you from behind, and he's whispering in your ear, I've got you. I've got this. You're okay. You're okay. I'm here. And we've already won. We've already won. Just walk through. Don't be driven by the enemy. Follow me. Follow me. Just walk through. I will be with you. And the Egyptians you saw today, you will never see again forever. The enemy wants to convince you, you didn't get it, it didn't take, you didn't learn your lesson, you're still defaulting. God's like, defaulting to what? You are new today. My mercies are new every morning. You are a new creation. Be cleansed by my word. My word is truth. And you know this, and you know this, and you know this. So receive. Receive the tender mercies of the Lord over you right now. And if you're having trouble, you're going, God, I'm having trouble receiving, then just say, Holy Spirit, thank you that it's not how I feel. Let's all say this. Christ in me, I bless you to receive every word of truth that God has spoken. Christ in me, I bless you because you are in perfect agreement with the Father. Feels, you may be real, but you're not the boss of me anymore. Christ in me is my hope. Christ, the Son of God. I receive your truth through my Jesus filter. Father, thank you. Thank you. So remember, church, it is intimacy that holds your place. It is building that place of love, that love nest. Build your love nest with the one who loves you most. That is where your authority derives from. And when the enemy comes knocking and comes lying and comes shaming, you're like, that's not the voice of my beloved. I'm going to lean on him. I'm not going to stand in my own strength. I'm not going to insist that I am strong. I am going to lean into my beloved. For he loves me. I will stand still and see Yeshua. Amen.